King Uzziah of the southern kingdom began his reign at the age of 16. King Uzziah reigned for 52 years. God blessed Uzziah immensely as long as he served the Lord. And you can read about him in 2 Chronicles chapter 29, and actually a little before that in 26. We'll be in there. That's what we'll be reading this morning. 2 Chronicles 29. But Uzziah was a king, again, who served the Lord and did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. Again, as long as he sought the Lord, God prospered him. We see that in 2 Chronicles chapter 26. And Uzziah became a great king, and he defeated many of the enemies of Israel, the enemies of the southern kingdom, and God, again, prospered him in a mighty way. He was marvelously helped, it says, until he was very strong. But towards the end of Uzziah's reign as king, the Bible says, and when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God. The Bible says he went into the temple, and there was going to offer up incense on the altar of incense, which was only to be done by the priests, the Levites. And so the high priest stopped him, or began to stop him, and some other got involved and said, "King, this is not right for you to do." And let me explain that just a little bit. There are three offices that God had given to Israel: prophet, priest, and king. The law said that no one could fulfill all three offices. Anyone who fulfilled three offices would be in danger of curse and so forth. We know this because of King Saul. Remember King Saul? King Saul was, not only was he king, but he was also a prophet. If you remember, King Saul received visions from God and was able to be used of God in that fashion. So King Saul was a prophet. He was a king. But at one point, King Saul offered up a sacrifice. And because he did that, God says he's going to take the kingdom away from Saul, and God did. God judged Saul for trying to fulfill all three offices: prophet, priest, and king. Here we have the same thing with Uzziah. Uzziah, again, the Bible makes it clear, he was a good king. God used him greatly. He was a righteous king. But towards the end of his reign, his heart was lifted up, and he went into the temple, and he tried again to offer up incense. Because he also was one of those kings who received visions, and you can read about it and find him that he received visions. He was a king and he was a prophet. But when he stepped into that third office and tried to offer up incense, the Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 26 that God in the temple struck him with leprosy. Right there in front of the priests. As the priests were trying to stop him and trying to keep him from offering up the incense, like that he was struck with leprosy. And the rest of his reign, he was a leper, and he died, and his son Jotham became king. Now, Jotham became king sort of before Uzziah died, because he had to, because Uzziah could not fulfill the office of king as a leper. And so they co-reigned together for a while until Uzziah died. And then Jotham came to power, and Jotham reigned 16 years, and he was a good king as well. But after Jotham, by the way, Jotham says he was a good king and God blessed him, but he said he did not go to the temple. That 16 years he didn't go to the temple. That's a whole other message. But you see Uzziah kind of take a step backwards, and you see Jotham kind of take a step backwards. And then when you get to the next king, whose name is Ahaz, and he's found in chapter 28, you see that Ahaz was 20 years old when he began to reign. Look there at verse 1. Ahaz was 20 years old when he began to reign, 2 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 1. And he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem, so 16 years. But he did not that which is right in the sight of the Lord, like David his father. For he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, the northern kingdom, and made also molten images of for Balaam. Moreover, he burnt incense in the valley of the sons of Hinnom, and burnt his children, listen to this, and burnt his children in the fire, after the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. Verse 4 says, and he sacrificed also and burnt incense in the high places and on the hills and under every green tree. So we see that Ahaz was a wicked king. This is around 700 B.C., about 100 years before God allows the Babylonians to come in and carry the southern kingdom into captivity. So 100 years before the southern kingdom is captured, we have the reign of Ahaz. Before Ahaz's reign, we'll stop there. there were 20 kings that reigned in the southern kingdom from 931 B.C. to the time of the captivity around 600 B.C. So in that 300 years time, a little over 300 years, there was 20 kings that reigned over the southern kingdom. Of those 20 kings, 8 were good and 12 were bad. But in the, and I want to give you a little history, but of those bad kings, there was 130 years that they reigned. But the good kings, even though there were less of them, they reigned 263 years. So the amount of years that good kings reigned was more than the amount of the bad kings. But my point is this, for 130 years before King Hezekiah, or before Ahaz became king and was wicked, 130 years before his reign of 16 years, the children of Israel had good kings that did right. All right, everybody with me? So 130 years before Ahaz became king. Of those, that time period, all those were good kings. Now, they weren't perfect, but they were good kings. They did it right in the eyes of the Lord. And all of a sudden, in 16 years, in the reign of Ahaz, you have Ahaz taking the children of Israel, taking the southern kingdom, the children of Judea, and just bringing them into apostasy, bringing them into Baal worship, shutting and nailing the doors of the temple, taking the temple and nailing the doors shut, shuttering the windows, I mean, just putting it in mothballs, and setting up false gods and idols in the temple of God and in the outer courts of the temple. In 16 years, I just want to make that point because of the shape America's in. 130 years of good reign and just 16 years of bad reign, and the country was totally opposite of what it looked like 16 years prior. It can happen fast. And we've seen that happen in America in the last few years. It just is amazing how quickly a nation can turn against God Almighty. But that's not the point of the message today, but I wanted to point that out. The next king whom we're going to read about today is King Hezekiah. And King Hezekiah came to the throne. He was 25 years old. And the Bible says there in verse 1, look there with me in chapter 29, and Hezekiah began to reign when he was 25 years old. And he reigned 29 years, so 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name, and it gives you the mother's name, skip on down there. It looks like in verse 2, it said, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. So Hezekiah comes to the throne, and he is a good king. It says there in verse 3, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. And he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them together into the east street. And he said unto them, hear me, ye Levites, sanctify now yourselves and sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. All of these idols and false gods. For our fathers, verse 6, have trespassed and have done that which is evil in the eyes of the Lord our God and have forsaken him and have turned away their faces from their habitation of the Lord and turned their backs. Also, they have shut up the doors of the porch and put out the lamps and have not burned incense nor offered burnt offerings in the holy place unto the God of Israel. Wherefore, the wrath of the Lord was upon Judah. If you go back and you read the previous chapter under Ahaz, you'll see that God judged Ahaz in a great way. He was defeated by various armies and by Syria and others. And even Israel came down. The northern kingdom came down and attacked them and carried away 200,000 people. That's a whole other story. And killed 100,000 of the southern kingdom's men in one day. Ahaz brought southern kingdom down to low point. And that's why he says here, wherefore the wrath, verse 8, wherefore the wrath of the Lord was upon Judah and Jerusalem, and he hath delivered them to trouble and astonishment and hissing, as ye see with your eyes. For lo, our fathers had fallen by the sword, and our sons and our daughters and our wives are in captivity for this. Now it is in mine heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that his fierce wrath may turn away from us. My sons, be not negligent, for the Lord hath chosen you to stand before him, to serve him, and that ye should minister unto him in burnt incense. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your love. We thank you for this example in the Bible that's set before us. We pray, Lord, that would challenge our hearts, and Lord, that our hearts would be right with you. Lord, that you might work in us and through us. In Jesus' name, amen. Hezekiah again did that which is right in the eyes of the Lord. By the way, that should be all of our goals as Christians, shouldn't it? To do right, to live right and before our God, to do what He has asked us to do. It's not just about all the don'ts, it's about the do's as well. And we ought to do right before God. He was 25 years old, but yet brought revival to His people. He opened the doors of the temple. And in the days of immorality and other things going on, in his time, Hezekiah made a difference. One king, one person made a difference. I want to point out at the beginning of this message that the New Testament tells us that the Old Testament was written for our example. And when we think of a king, we need to remember that we are all kings and priests with the Lord. And the king did that which is right in the eyes of the Lord, so should we. He's an example for us, Hezekiah is. He made a difference in God with God's people. The Bible says there that he purposed in his heart. He purposed in his heart. He made a covenant with God to do right. He made a covenant with the Lord. Verse 10. Now it is in my heart to make a covenant with the Lord of God of Israel, that his fierce wrath may turn away from us. He made a covenant with the Lord. Good things start with the heart. It's a heart issue. Everything that comes in action that we do comes from our hearts. He made a covenant with God to do right. We think about Daniel purposing in his heart to do right, to purpose in his heart to serve the Lord in spite of being in captivity. And here we have Hezekiah in his heart making a covenant, making a promise to God to do right. We ought to covenant with God to do right. Pretty simple message. Are you right with the Lord? Are you doing right today? The challenge of the priests and the Levites, verse 11, he challenged the priests. My sons, be not now negligent, for the Lord hath chosen you to stand before him and to serve him, that you should minister unto him and burn incense. So he challenged the priests and the Levites, the spiritual leaders who were neglecting their duty. He challenged them, don't neglect your duty. Do what's right. Can I remind you, the New Testament tells us that we are priests. In fact, we're the royal priesthood, a chosen generation. We're a peculiar people. And the example set before us here is, listen, Christian, as a royal priest, as a priest. By the way, that's a great thing. I don't have to go to a priest to communicate with God. The Bible says in the New Testament, I am a priest. I have direct access to God by way of prayer. I'm thankful for that. You don't have to come to my office and tell me all your problems and all your sin and confess to me anything. Go to the Heavenly Father and confess your sins before Him. You are a priest. By the way, every Christian should be a minister. Every member of this church should be a minister. All of us are priests. And so here we see Hezekiah saying to the priest, don't neglect your duty. Can I just encourage you? Don't neglect your duty as a Christian. Don't neglect the gospel. You have the greatest news of any news that's ever been given. Man, there's lots of negative news today. You go to Fox News or CNN or any of them, the nightly news, it's all, nearly always, all negative. But you have the good news. The good news is that Christ came 2,000 years ago and that the God of the universe gave His Son for us 2,000 years ago, that He died on the cross, that He shed His blood for our sins, and that He was buried, and that He died, and that He rose again the third day. That's the gospel, the good news of salvation. By the way, Christianity is a positive message. You have the most positive message ever. So don't neglect the gospel. Don't neglect being a minister. Don't neglect doing your duty as a Christian to tell others the good news of salvation. Today we have so many who shirk and put off this duty. Let us be reminded to do the work of the Lord, to spread the gospel. Then we see in verses 15, he says, look at verse 15. And they gathered their brethren and sanctified themselves and came according to the commandment of the king. It's talking about the Levites and the word of the Lord to cleanse the house of the Lord. So they began this process of cleansing themselves as priests and then began to cleanse the temple. Verse 16, the priests went into the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it and brought out all the uncleanness that they found in the temple of the Lord into the court of the house of the Lord. And the Levites took it to carry it out abroad unto the brook Kidron. And now they began at the first day, the first month, to sanctify. And on the eighth day of the month came they to the porch of the Lord. So they sanctified the house of the Lord in 8 days. And in the 16th day of the first month they made an end. Then they went to Hezekiah the king and said, "We have cleansed all the house of the Lord, and the altar, the burnt offerings, and all the vessels thereof, and had showbread and table, and all the vessels thereof. Moreover, all the vessels which King Ahaz in his reign did cast away in his transgression have we prepared and sanctified, and behold, they are before the altar of the Lord." So the priests cleansed themselves. Basically, they got right with God first. They cleansed themselves, got right with God, and then began to go in the temple and began to clean it out. They took all the idols and all that and walked down to the valley there, the Kidron Valley, where the children of Israel, the Jerusalem, burnt their trash and threw away all their garbage, and they threw all these idols and broke them up and burned them, and began to sanctify again the vessels that Ahaz had taken out of the temple, all the table of showbread and the altar of incense and all the various other vessels. And then they went to Hezekiah and said, "All right, it's ready. The temple is ready. All the various furniture and all the fixtures have been prepared." We think about this story. We think about the removing of the idols. And listen, we're not careful. We can become very, as Christians, very worldly. As a church, if we're not careful, we become very worldly. Let us be careful to keep the rubbish out of our life. Let's be careful that we walk down into the Kidron Valley every once in a while and throw away some stuff that needs to be out of our life. It's called sin. It's called sin. The sin in our life that obscures and blocks our fellowship with our Heavenly Father. See, the children there, the southern kingdom, was being judged by God because they weren't right with God. Once they began to get right with God, then they put themselves in a position to be blessed by God. They purposed in their heart. What they purposed in their heart, what their purpose to do, they did. A lot of times we will be in a meeting like this, or we'll be in our daily devotion, and we'll get convicted by the Lord, and we intend to do some things, but we never back it up with action. And here we see Hezekiah not only making a covenant with God and purposing in his heart to do what's right, but we see the performing of it. We see Hezekiah having great intentions, but we also see his actions, that he followed up with it. Let us, as Christians, be conscious of that, that what we purpose to do, that we do that. What we intend to do, that whenever God stirs our heart, that we will put action to our words. We think about youth camp this week. That's a great lesson for youth camp. We go to youth camp, and I miss going to youth camp. First time, a long time, I haven't gone to youth camp. And go to youth camp and you hear great preaching and you have a great time and you're kind of away from all the a lot of the world influence, and you make some covenants, you purpose in your heart to do some things at youth camp. Can I remind you, it's good to have good intentions, but the actions must follow up the good intentions. So many times we as people, don't we, have good intentions, we just don't follow up on it. I don't know what commitments you may have made to the Lord in the past, or maybe you'll make some commitments today, but let's put foot to action. Be you doers of the word and not hearers only. And we need to be doers of the word. So teenagers, can I remind you, back up what you intend to do. Follow through with the covenants or the promises you make with God. We ought to be doers of the word. And then it says there in verses 20 through 24 that Hezekiah the king arose early, verse 20, and gathered the rulers of the city and went up to the house of God. And they brought 7 bullocks. And you're going to see that they began to make sacrifices to the Lord. They began to worship the Lord again. Verse 24, and all the priests killed them, talking about the sacrifices, and they made reconciliation with their blood upon the altar to make an atonement for all of Israel. And the king commanded that the burnt offering and the sin offering should be made for all Israel. So the sacrifices began to go up. So Hezekiah covenanted in his heart to do right. He purposed in his heart to do right. His purpose or his intentions were backed up with actions. He had the Levites to go in and clean the temple up, to get all the rubbish out, to get the idols out, to cleanse the temple, to cleanse all the fixtures. And once all that was done, then the priests brought sacrifices and they began to worship the Lord again. So let's get this here. There's 16 years of having a bad king. 16 years of the temple being boarded up or being used for pagan worship. And now 16 years later, the temple's cleaned, been cleansed, and the priests have been cleansed, and they put back on their robes. And now we have them bringing bullocks and goats back into the temple and bringing to that huge brazen altar there before the temple. And they began to offer up sacrifices and began to praise the Lord again. They began to worship the Lord again. If you read, it says, and they fell on their faces and began to worship God, not only the priests, but also the people. When they worshiped God, they fell on their faces. I want to remind you, Brother Sam Davison did a great job of that when he was here. He reminded us that worship is not this. Worship, and I'm not going to do it, but worship is this. Every time you see them worshiping, they're falling on their faces before God. It's coming before God, prostrate before Him, putting our faces before Him, worshiping Him, humbling ourselves before Him. They began to worship Him. Hezekiah purposed in his heart. By the way, all the sacrifices they were making, the bullocks and the lambs and the goats, all that pictured Jesus Christ. Pre-pictured the Lamb who would come one day, 700 years later, and would die on the cross and shed His blood on Calvary for our sins. They were to be taught that. When they came to the temple, the priests were to teach the children and the adults, hey, one day, what this Lamb is doing and what's happening to this Lamb one day will happen to the greater Messiah, the one who will come and take away the sins of the world. Jesus Christ, can I remind you, came to this world 2,000 years ago again. He died for us, shed His blood for us, gave His life for us, was buried, and rose again the third day in order that we might have everlasting life. I hope today you're saved. I hope today you know you have everlasting life. I hope today your sins have been forgiven. That's the greatest news on earth, to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. They came to the temple once again. They came to the temple and worshiped Him. They came to the temple and praised Him and worshiped Him. Again, we see Hezekiah purpose in his heart. God, if You'll use me, I'll try to make a difference. And he did make a difference. Hezekiah carries out that plan, opens God's house, covenant is okay. So when he began to make those sacrifices, when the priests began to make those sacrifices, understand that the covenant God made with Israel was restored. So once the temple was back in use, once the children of Israel were back the way they should be, the covenant God made with them, the covenant He made with them is basically this: you keep My law, I'll bless you. And so when they kept the law, when they did what was right, it put them in a position where God could bless them. So in this sense, Hezekiah and what he did put the Israelites, put the southern kingdom back in a position where God could bless them once again. Because under King Ahaz, they had been greatly, greatly punished. Can I remind you that when you put yourself right with God, when you get right with the Lord, it puts yourself in a position where God can bless you. You say, well, I feel like I'm right with God. I don't know that I'm blessed. Notice how I worded it. It puts you in a position where God can bless you. You may still go through storms. You may still have trials, because Jesus Christ says in this world you'll have tribulation. But when you are right with God, it puts you in a position where God can bless you. I'm thankful for His grace. And I'm thankful for His mercy. And yes, He extends those things to great graces and great mercy to us, even when we're not doing what's right, and I'm so glad of that. But don't, it's kind of like with your real dad, my earthly dad. I have a great dad. My dad was pretty gracious. I was a hyperactive kid, very hyperactive. And so my dad had to be patient with me. And even looking back, sometimes he had to pick his battles with me because I was very hard-headed. I'm not that anymore. But very hyperactive. I'm not that anymore either. And so he had to be gracious. And many times my dad showed me grace. He gave me what I didn't deserve. Many times my dad showed me mercy. He did not punish me when he should have. But I found out very quickly, you better not rely on that for very long, because at some point my dad would step in and say, all right, enough is enough. boom, the hammer dropped, and the Board of Education was applied to the seat of understanding. I'm glad for a gracious and merciful God who does not always give me what I deserve, and many times gives me what I do not deserve, grace and mercy. But we better not take that for granted, that He will always extend grace and mercy to us, because He's also a God of judgment. In other words, He's a just God. He's going to do what's fair and what's right. And He did say, you reap what you sow. And He did say the time will come when He will, judgment will fall. And so our goal as Christians is to put ourselves in a position where God can bless us by staying right with Him. Hezekiah did that which is right in the eyes of the Lord. But remind you what he did first. He purposed in his heart. He made a covenant with his heart with God. Because what we would consider sins and those things that the Bible makes very clear that are wrong in our life starts in the heart. And we as Christians ought to purpose in our heart to do what's right. And when we purpose in our heart and then we follow through with that intention, then it puts us in a position again where God can bless us. So the covenant was restored to the house of Israel. And God began to bless under King Hezekiah. In fact, God blessed Hezekiah greatly. Became a great king. And then we see verse 27, look with me, says, and Hezekiah commanded to offer up the burnt offerings upon the altar. And when the burnt offerings began, the song of the Lord began all the trumpets and with the instruments ordained by David, king of Israel. And all the congregation worshipped and the singers sang and the trumpeter sounded. And all this continued until the burnt offering was finished. And when they had made an end of the offering, the king and all the present with them bowed themselves and worshipped. Moreover, King Hezekiah, the king and the princes commanded the Levites to sing praise unto the Lord with the words of David. And these are talking about the Psalms. They began to sing the Psalms and they sang praises with gladness and they bowed their heads and worshipped. And Hezekiah answered and said, now ye have consecrated yourselves to the Lord. Come near and bring sacrifices and thank offerings into the house of the Lord. And the congregation brought in sacrifices and thank offerings, as many as were of a free heart, burnt offerings. And we see here again, Hezekiah purposed to do what's right. The people gave presentations from the heart, began to worship the Lord, began to praise Him. By the way, getting right with God, the natural response to getting right with God is praising Him. The natural response to being in a position of fellowship with God is a place of worship in our own hearts. We praise and worship Him as a natural, just it happens automatically in our Christian life when we are in fellowship with God, when we are right with God. Can you see the children of Israel who haven't worshipped Him in 16 years? And there they are in the house of the Lord and they're praising Him. Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. They began to sing. They began to sing the Psalms of David and sing the songs of Asaph. They began to sing and praise Him and worship and bow down before Him. Atonement had been made. The temple was opened and the people began to work. We just read in verse 31 that they made an offering of thanks for the Lord. This was a burnt offering, but this is not talking about the tithe. And you can go read about that in 2 Chronicles 31 where they came and brought their tithe. By the way, the tithe is something we bring to the Lord. It is His. The tithe is His. 10% of the gross that I make belongs to the Lord. And I bring it to the house of God, I give it to the Lord, that's His. The offering is above that. And so when you see them bringing these bullocks and they're bringing these other offerings, these are thank offerings, these are burnt sacrifices that were given over and above their tithe. Over and above that 10%. Here's the gist of it. They came with a thankful heart. They came with a giving heart. They came with a free will offering. In other words, they weren't obligated to do what they were doing here. They weren't obligated by the law to do what they were doing. Okay? They were going above the law. They were doing more than what was required in this instant. I'm thankful that I live in the New Testament economy, that I live in the New Covenant, not the Old Testament. By the way, there's a huge difference in our many times in society out there. They get totally mixed up with Christianity because they're over there in the Old Testament reading stuff that does not necessarily apply to us today. And that's a whole other sermon. But reminding you today that we are still as such. The Bible makes it clear that God requires that offering of us, the tithe is required of us. Amen? As Christians, we are to bring the tithe into the storehouse. Upon the first day of the week, let every man lay aside what's been prospered him. The preacher's preaching on money. How many times do I preach on tithing? Like once a year. So I want to hit it here right now. You ought to be giving your tithe to the Lord. You ought to be giving your 10%. That is required of you as a Christian. And then, when the Lord touches your heart, it's to give a thank offering. And this is where missions comes in and building fund and Brother Williams and other missionaries that we support. And God sees fit to press upon your heart. These individuals were 16 years without temple worship. They did what was required of them in giving of their tithe. But this was not just Hezekiah getting right with God. This was not just the king saying, "All right, bring your tithe in or I'm going to take you out. I'm the king, do what I say." He could have done that. He's the king. Right? I mean, Obama does it in America. King Hezekiah can do it there. Man, why did I do that? ADD, I think. All right, some other presidents have done it too, so. Hezekiah could have made a decree, "Hey, bring your tithe in." But we know from just a couple more chapters over that they brought their tithe in. But then they did something they didn't have to do. In other words, the worship they were having, all that praise and worship and bowing before them was not done because they were made to do it. They were worshiping because they wanted to. It wasn't just Hezekiah's revival. It wasn't just Hezekiah getting covenanting with God. But the people got right with God. The people gave thanks unto God. The people began to worship God with their heart. We see this evidenced by the free will offering that was taken. Can I just encourage you? It's not just that the pastor get, you know, where he should be as a Christian, but that the congregation get where they should be. That we as a church family, as a group collectively, are right with the Lord and where we should be. And it's evidenced. And I'm not saying it's evidenced by necessarily the giving. But it's evidenced by our giving in service. It's evidenced by our giving in our talents and our treasure and our time. Over and above the tithe. The evidence that you are where you should be as a Christian. The evidence that you are in fellowship with God, the evidence that you are right with God, the evidence that I'm right with God, is that my time and my talent and my treasure is being used by the Lord, from me being used by Him. How is your service this morning? How is your service? Where are you actively using your time, your talent, your treasure for the Lord? No, not intentions now. Everybody has good intentions. Everybody can purpose in their heart per se, but are you following through? Are you actively? Listen, God works in our heart. He works in us that He might work through us. And as God worked in Hezekiah's heart, so will He work in our hearts. But that working in our hearts is evidenced by the actions that we do. That actions can be lots of different things. That actions can be witnessing to a neighbor. That action can be giving. That action can be joining the choir or teaching a Sunday school class. And right now we're in need of some Sunday school workers and other things. It's actively getting involved in soul winning and visitation. It's actively getting involved in helping in the kitchen and the nursery and on and on and on. It's actively getting involved in witnessing to your neighbor, witnessing to a coworker, being a blessing, mowing the yard of your neighbor when they're sick or whatever it may be. Just being active, being a Christian, walking in the steps of Jesus, following in His footsteps, living a life that's pleasing to the Lord. And when we live a life that's pleasing to the Lord, it puts us in a position where He can bless us. And where He can bless us immensely. Sometimes we're not being blessed. And sometimes we do go through the fire because we're not right with God. There's sin in our life. And when Hezekiah came in and cleaned things up, he It gave God the opportunity to bless. Maybe that's where you're at today. Maybe this morning you just need to get some things right with the Lord. Maybe you're here this morning and you're in fellowship with God and you have good intentions and your heart is right, but you haven't followed through. Your actions don't prove what God has placed upon your heart. Maybe this morning you just want to come to the altar and say, Lord, where do you want me to serve? What do you want me to do? Lord, I yield to whatever you would have me to do. Hezekiah was king. He didn't have to do nothing. If you're king, you can do whatever you want to, right? But he did that which is right in the eyes of the Lord. Yes, we are. I'm glad that God created us in a way in which we are our own selves. We can make a decision. We made a decision to get saved. God pressed upon our heart and we got saved. And we make other decisions. It's called free will. But let's exercise our free will to do right. Let's exercise our free will to serve with all our heart. Let's exercise our free will to put ourselves in a position where God can bless. Amen? Amen. God's so good to us. Christ gave his life for us in order we might have everlasting life. The greatest news we have today is the gospel. The gospel is, according to Paul, that Jesus Christ came, that he died, that he was buried, and he rose again in order that we might have everlasting life. Let's all stand. Hymn 167, Just As I Am. Hezekiah purposed in his heart. Hezekiah followed through with action. And not only did it affect him, but it affected his people around him. Can I just remind you that what you do affects those around you? And you can make a difference in your family. Husbands, you can make a difference in your family. Wives, you can make a difference in your family. And we as a collective group, as a church, can make a difference for each other if we'll just purpose in our heart and follow through. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your love and the example of Hezekiah. And we pray, Lord, that we would purpose in our heart to do right. And Lord, that we would follow through with action. And God, we pray that each of us as Christians would put ourselves in a position where we could be blessed by you, that we would not take for granted or call into occasion your grace and mercy all the time, knowing that you are a just God and that you will step in at some point. I pray, God, that you would just challenge our hearts as we prepare for revival, Lord, to be right with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hymn 167, Just As I Am, as we sing.